This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Thanks to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it all. Also, breaking ground on NIL, they've got some of the biggest names in college sports. They had Caitlin Clark in there, Angel Reese, and a lot of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round draft picks. And if you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. And the best trading card brands, Prism, Select, Donruss, and so many more. And for those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Made it to a Friday. It's a meat Friday at that. Come on in, stay a while. Everybody's here, including the wonderfully talented Todd Fritz. Poll question, play of the day, stat of the day, all of that coming up. You can be part of the program as well. I believe we're having corned beef and cabbage today. Yes, I believe that is what's happening a little bit later on. I'm not sure, but sources close to me tell me that that is on the menu today. Corned beef and cabbage. Sick. Who has it better than we do?
Nobody.
All righty. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DP Show. Take me up on the offer. Moonshine Madness. Every person who places a tailgate order gets 50% off their next order at the merch store. You can shop at danpatrick.com. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Good morning, watching on Peacock. Thank you. Download the app if you haven't done so, and our radio affiliates, numbering over 400 cities in America that carry this program. Normally, when a team is slated to own the number one overall pick, the franchise has been going in the wrong direction. I think people forget the Bears won 7 games last year. They dealt with Carolina, got the top pick. They did go 7-10, and they were in the hunt for a playoff spot there for a little while. But they have the number one overall pick because Carolina was terrible last year. The potential landing spot for Caleb Williams now looks even more promising. They went out and they signed DeAndre Swift. He's a do-it-all back. He'll catch some passes out of the backfield. They improved their defense. They got a couple of promising defensive backs. They bolstered the offensive line. And then yesterday, they traded for Keenan Allen. He's been a Pro Bowl wide receiver 6 times. And you always have to say the following with Keenan Allen: when healthy. Because when healthy, he's very, very good. So you partner him with DJ Moore, who had 1,300 yards receiving. And Chicago's offense now looks a little bit more formidable here. Now, it feels like they're doing all of these things to then bring in Caleb Williams. They're going to give him weapons, unlike what Carolina did with Bryce Young. And Trevor Lawrence finished with the league's worst record his first season as a starter in Jacksonville. Joe Burrow in 2020, he got injured. They finished 4-11. Kyler Murray, his first year, 2019. His team won 5 games. Baker Mayfield was selected by a winless Cleveland Browns team in 2018. You're going into situations where you're asked to be the savior, but that's not going to happen unless you have some help there. It looks like the Bears have learned from other people's lessons, and even Justin Fields, when they had him, they still have him, surround these quarterbacks with some talent. Give them a chance at least to get off the ground. And it looks like that's what Chicago's doing. Now, there's still a lot of speculation or wonderment. Hey, are they going to stay with Justin Fields? Okay, we don't know. We don't know for sure. But, you know, maybe they do. Maybe they keep him. But they still take Caleb Williams. I would be surprised if anybody went up to get Caleb Williams. Washington, D.C., where he's from, I would be happy with Jaden Daniels. I wouldn't even blink an eye. Be like, we'd love to have him. He's from here, but we like Jaden Daniels. Are the Patriots going to go up and get him? What do you have to go up and get him? What's it going to cost you? If you were going to trade for C.J. Stroud right now, what would C.J. Stroud cost you? If you called the Texans and said, hey, we'll give you, what? You already know how good he is, 1 year, solved the code. Do you give 4 first-round picks for him? You'd be giving more for C.J. Stroud than you would for Caleb Williams, right? Are you going to go up? We've seen the teams that go up and get these guys. It doesn't work out very often. Carolina did it. That didn't work out. They went up and got the wrong guy, or at least the appearance of the wrong guy. The Niners with Trey Lance, the Bears. You know, we've seen this before where you're going up there. Mitch Trubisky, we got to have him. Okay, nobody else wants him, but we've got to have him. And now Caleb Williams. I can't imagine a team going, let's say the Raiders. And this was brought up to me. What about the Raiders? Could the Raiders go up and get Caleb Williams? I go, sure. But what are you giving up? I mean, if you're going to give the 13th pick, and what else are you going to give up? All right, I'm not interested if I'm the Bears. You have to really knock them down and say, you can't pass up on this offer. I just don't see a team, and I haven't heard any possible trade proposals. Now, we have a lot of time before the draft, but I think the Bears, worst case scenario, they keep Justin Fields for a year, and then maybe you have that backup in case something happens to Caleb Williams, or you don't have to play him right away, that you can play Justin Fields, and then you can bring in Caleb Williams. I still, and I said this yesterday, I've seen a couple of NFL reporters who picked up on this. I think Philadelphia would be the ideal place for Justin Fields, because is Jalen Hurts going to stay healthy? And if he happens to get hurt, that team is ready to go. I mean, they went out. The Eagles have made some moves. You don't want to have all of this talent, and then you don't have your quarterback there. And Justin Fields doesn't cost you anything. You'd be able to bring him in 1 year. You're not going to pay him a lot of money. He's due $25 million next year. You could even franchise him if you wanted to. But I can't see that happening either. It's bring him in, let him be insurance for Jalen Hurts. I mentioned the Giants as a possible destination for Justin Fields. Put him in there. Put a little pressure on Danny Dimes. I can't imagine Daniel Jones will be there the following year. Maybe Justin Fields is your future there. But right now, the Bears in a holding pattern, or at least we're given the impression that it's a holding pattern, and maybe they keep him. Maybe they don't draft Caleb Williams. Maybe they trade the number one pick. I don't see that happening, but there is that possibility. I just think that the Bears thought somebody was going to be more interested in Justin Fields as a starter. Maybe it was Pittsburgh if Russ didn't go there. Maybe it was Atlanta if Kirk D. Cousins didn't go there. The perfect situation didn't play out for them. And now they have him. And do they keep him or, you know, get close to draft day? Or maybe you keep him and then you trade him during the season. If somebody, considering we had 65 different starting quarterbacks last year, that maybe you're able to get more during the season than prior to the season. All right, poll question today. Seton, what do you have?
We got a couple options for you. Yeah. This one's from Paulie. This is based off of yesterday, because we're not just negative.
Ooh.
Which of these below-average teams feels like they're going in the right direction Yay. We're positive.
Pastor Paul.
Yesterday we were going in the wrong direction. Today we're going in the right direction.
We didn't even put the Chargers on going in the wrong direction. They won five games last year.
Yeah.
Now they have had, you know, Khalil Mack and Bosa have restructured their deals, but Mike Williams is gone. Keenan Allen's gone. If I'm Justin Herbert today, I'm like, where is everybody? Austin Eckler's gone. Well, I got Jim Harbaugh here.
I don't need players.
Yeah.
Players? Milk and meat.
All right. What do you have, Seton?
Your options are the Atlanta Falcons.
All right.
I feel like they're going in the right direction.
Sure.
Chicago Bears, obviously.
I'm going to say yes.
Chicago.
Yes, I'm going to say yes.
The New England Patriots?
I don't know. Well, okay, you got a new coach.
That's about it. You've got rid of your quarterback.
And you got rid of Mac Jones.
Yeah.
Okay, so, okay.
How about the Washington Commanders?
Yes, I'm going to say, you know, everybody in the division with the Cowboys appears to be all in except for the Cowboys.
Great.
Because everybody else has done something in the offseason. But Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones, his son, are like, we're all in. And all in might be, let's see if we can be status quo. You just got embarrassed at home by the Packers in the postseason. I would think that would be the initiative to go, things that make you go, we got to do some things here. You got a coach who's in his final year. What are you going to do with Dak? Dak's legal entanglement, does that have anything to do whether they extend him or not? You don't have a running back. You have a little bit of infighting there. You lost your defensive coordinator. Other than that, how are things going, Jerry? Yes, Paul.
I think I put the Washington Commanders on this poll, not for football reasons, but for ownership reasons. They shook off their old owner, and just the entire franchise feels better. Is Dan Quinn going to work out? Is their draft picks going to work out? I have no idea. But they feel like they're going in the right direction, national perception-wise.
Yeah.
And hopefully the football follows, because they're not the worst team year to year. They were always relevant, like, you know, 8-9, whatever.
Yeah. Feels like they've made some moves here, and, you know, whether you're all in with Dan Quinn as your head coach, but they've at least tried to improve their roster. But I do think having new ownership certainly helps. It's like, okay, now let's try to be respectful. Let's see if we can start to build some pieces here. Let's be challenging. Hey, let's not be in the news because sexual harassment or what a crappy playing field. How about we're in the news because we're doing something positive?
Yeah, more playoff appearances, less investigations.
Yeah, that would be nice. They've had more investigations, I think, than they have playoff appearances. By the way, the Discover credit card, you have access 24/7 to customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Learn more at discover.com/credit card. Limitations, like Fritzy, do apply. If I look back on that Carolina trade, Carolina got Bryce Young. The Bears got offensive tackle Darnell Wright first round last year. They got a cornerback, Tyreek Stevenson, who started. They got wide receiver DJ Moore, who had 1,300 yards. And then they got a fourth-round draft pick. Well, that fourth-round draft pick was used to pick up Keenan Allen from the Chargers. And you get the number one overall pick this year, which could be Caleb Williams. That would be a lopsided trade there. Bryce Young better be better than just good. He's going to have to be really good, bordering on great. And is Carolina going to surround him? I know you got Calvin Ridley. Did they get Calvin Ridley in Carolina, or did Calvin Ridley go to Tennessee? I'm trying to, the Titans, I think. Oh, so they didn't even get Calvin Ridley. Kind of, mistake those uniforms. By the way, Houston Texans supposed to be getting new uniforms. Now's a good time to get new uniforms. When you're fresh off a playoff appearance, you won a game, and now, although I've seen teams that come up with a new uniform when they're not very good, like they want to have you notice them. Hey, we're not very good, but look at our uniforms. They look pretty sharp. Sometimes you'll see teams do that, just like, I don't know, we got to do something here.
Hey, look good, feel good, play good.
Hey, how about some new uniforms here? Look good, maybe play good. Maybe feel good.
Yeah, you got to look good, feel good, play good. We're going to make that as soon as they decide on a new color scheme or something. First t-shirt we're making.
Now, we've gone through, you know, these cycles of what do you want to do with your uniform? Because now it feels like we're in the red, white, and blue era, where we used to be in the red and black era, and then we had the dinosaurs that were the cartoon-type uniforms.
There was a real, like, teal sort of like that bluey-green sort of thing. Every team that came out had that bluey-green.
That originated with the Charlotte Hornets. They hired a designer, Alexander Julian, in the late 80s to design their uniform.
Pinstripes, yeah. Yeah, I call that bleen, blue and green. It's bleen. Yes, Marvin.
In the mid-90s, the NBA, the Hawks, they actually had like a big hawk, a big raptor, a big grizzly, a big jazz. I don't know what a jazz is. But they had all these big, enormous uniforms, you know, craziness.
Yes, yes. But the uniforms, it feels like now you got to have red, white, and blue in your colors. You're wearing your UConn Husky jersey.
Come on, all day.
Yeah.
Bury me in this. No, seriously, bury me in this.
You look good.
Thank you.
You look like you're ready to play. You could give Danny Hurley a couple of minutes off the bench.
As a walk-on.
Yeah.
When they're up by 50 with a minute 12 left.
Yeah.
All right, Marvin's in the game. All right, all right. Okay, all right.
Shoot it, Marv.
Yeah. Oh, air ball.
Yeah. It's like you get in and you're up big and you don't want to be taking shots, but you'll never get in and you want to take a shot. Having been one of those scrubs where they go, all right, go on in. Don't shoot. Why not? You know? No, we don't want to rub it in. I'm like, are you kidding me? Yes, Marv.
All right, so when you were in college, what were you thinking at one point when you're sitting on the bench and you're like, wait, in high school, I was the guy.
Oh, yeah.
What does that do to your psyche?
Well, you had to check that at the door when the head coach didn't even call you by your name. And so I figured that I was probably in the wrong place. But it took me 2 years to realize that. It did. My dad kept saying, all right, you're not quitting. I go, can I go someplace else, Dad, where the coach actually likes me? No, you made a commitment. I go, he didn't make a commitment to me, though. Maybe call me Golden Boy. And not in a good way.
By golly.
By golly, Golden Boy. That was my name. By golly, Golden Boy, get out. And he had this weird tick with his thumb, and he would have it. He wore those bike shorts that left nothing to the imagination.
You could tell what religion he is.
Yes, I could tell a lot.
Hot.
And he wore out a spot on his shorts where right by his belly button, he'd be like, Golden Boy, get out. I'd be like, okay. Take my flowing locks, and then I would go sit down.
This guy doesn't know anything.
Wait, did you do a...
This guy doesn't know
a hair flip? Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Well, you just talked about your flowing locks, so the only way to wear those is to flip them, Dan.
Yeah. And man, did I show him. I was not getting a haircut till I played. So it grew pretty long. It was down to my shoulders. I showed him. Eventually, I had to cut it after I left campus. All righty. We'll get to phone calls coming up. Operator Tyler standing by, and he'll take your phone calls, 877-3DP-SHOW. A little bit later on, Dame Lillard, he'll stop by. Been a while since we've talked to Dame, but he'll join us. Also, Saquon Barkley talks about leaving the Giants. Have that for you. Are the Eagles, remember when they were the dream team? When Vince Young called them the dream team years ago, and then it didn't work out well, they're kind of morphing into the dream team too a little bit here. Added a lot. So we'll take a break.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one. firmer or softer on each side? You decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well. Quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR under one platform. And one source of truth with NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required. And you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick. PGA Tour is at TPC Sawgrass Players Championship. Coverage starts again today, 1 Eastern on Golf Channel, NBC, and Peacock. Update the poll results, if you can, Seton, from the first 90 minutes of the program.
Yep, I could do that. Right. We put up there, of these teams, which would you pick to have a surprisingly good season?
Okay.
Right now, the Titans have 53% of the vote. You want to guess who's last in this list? It's Titans, Panthers, Patriots, Broncos. Who would be last? Thinking they're so they're going to have the worst season. Or they have the least chance to have a surprisingly good season.
I'll say the Panthers.
The Panthers, correct. They've got 6% of the vote. Want to guess who's second last?
The Patriots.
Yeah, it would be the Patriots. Nailed it. Look at you. Did you check these results?
No, but people are probably rooting for the Patriots to be bad. That's why they probably picked the Patriots as well.
Fair.
Trevor Sikkema is a Pro Football Focus lead draft analyst and co-host of the NFL Stock Exchange podcast. So he's in control of the big board there for the draft. But before we get to that, Trevor, thanks for joining us. Let me start with the team that impressed you the most this past week.
I really enjoyed the moves that the Houston Texans have made. Obviously, you go get a quarterback like C.J. Stroud last year, he hits the ground running and absolutely explodes. And what I love about what the Texans are doing is they're seeing that and they're not saying, all right, cool, we're ahead of schedule a little bit. This is good. They're all in. Like, they're ready for this. They say, we've got a quarterback who's playing hot. Let's get the rest of the team ready around him. So love what they did with some of the offensive moves last year. Defensive-centric free agency. I specifically love, okay, they probably thought they were going to lose Jonathan Grenard. They do. They go out and get Danielle Hunter. And then they also go out and get the Nico Autry. So, man, it's just like boom, boom, all these moves on the defensive side of the ball. it gives them the chance to be super flexible with what they're going to do in the NFL draft. Now, we just saw that trade happen with them and the Minnesota Vikings, so it gets a little bit interesting now what they're going to do. But I still think that it's wide receiver, maybe helping out the offensive line still. But from what they have done just as a whole plan of how you attack this offseason, I love that they have put their foot on the gas. And the Danielle Hunter signing especially said to me, this team is going all in, and I love it.
And it also helps that you have C.J. Stroud on that rookie deal, so you can spread the wealth for a couple of years. What do you make of what the Vikings did, that they now have two first-round picks, 11 and 23? What do you think they're up to?
Oh, I think that they're eyeing a trade up big time. I mean, even before this week, we felt like Minnesota was going to be a team that was going to be eyeing trading up, right? They were kind of in that realm. There was rumors that, yeah, they're still on Kirk Cousins. I'm sure they had conversations with him, but it didn't really make sense, in my opinion, for them to bring Kirk Cousins back. They weren't really in that point where the rest of the team had them in a for sure winning window. You know, Kirk Cousins in his mid-30s now, he wanted to go to a different team that was going to allow them to win right away. And for the contracts that Cousins has signed over the last couple of years, those fully guaranteed deals, again, it wasn't going to give Minnesota the flexibility that they wanted for whoever that next quarterback is. They're sitting at number 11. They're not going to have a chance to pick a guy like Caleb Williams, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Jaden Daniels if they stay at 11. They know that. They've known that for a while now. And so I've been eyeing that number 3 spot with the Patriots, the number 5 spot with the Los Angeles Chargers, maybe the number 4 spot with the Arizona Cardinals. Monty Austin Fort showed last year he ain't afraid to wheel and deal and trade down a little bit. So to me, this ultimately from Minnesota was them saying, we're going to sweeten the pot for whoever wants us to trade up to them. You want multiple first-round picks? We got you now with multiple first-round picks. And so this is their way of saying, and I think boasting to these teams, we're going to be able to give you the best deal, because there's a couple of teams around of the Denver Broncos, the Las Vegas Raiders, that also would love to trade up, I think. But now Minnesota's in a position where they can absolutely give one of those teams the best offer.
And I keep hearing that they like Drake May in Minnesota, but then J.J. McCarthy. So it feels like there's a consolation prize if that's true, that there's a consolation prize if they don't get one, then they'll get the other. What do you feel about those two guys, that they have to go up high to get J.J. McCarthy, maybe not as high to get Drake May?
Right. And it might be the other way around, right? We're hearing, okay, well, some teams have Drake May as QB2. Some have J.J. QB2. Some have Jaden Daniels as QB2. And so, what I love about what Minnesota is doing is they're giving themselves the flexibility to, sure, they'd like to get a deal done before draft weekend if they can get up to number 2 or number 3. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to be able to get up to 2. But if they can get up to 3, they'll do it before draft weekend. If not, they'll still be comfortable enough to say, all right, let's see how this plays out. Let's see which quarterbacks end up going 1, 2, 3, if we have 3 go off the board, and then we'll adjust how aggressive we want to get after that. The Sam Darnold signing, to me, is the underrated part of this, because I don't think Kevin O'Connell's lying when he says that he likes what he has seen from Sam Darnold. To me, they'd be comfortable putting him out there in week 1, where if you draft a J.J. McCarthy, you might think he's going to win a Super Bowl for you someday. That doesn't mean you think he's going to look great in week 1. So that puts a good situation in front of whoever they draft, whether it's May, whether it's Daniels, whether it's McCarthy. But I think this gives them a lot of flexibility to achieve something that they're really happy about on draft weekend.
I haven't heard about anybody and what it would cost to move up to number 1. Like Washington, do they really want Caleb Williams? Are they satisfied with Jaden Daniels? Do you have a charted Pro Football Focus of, if you're going up, this is what it's going to cost you?
Well, I think that we have the charts that we go by. And, you know, if you go, all right, well, you're only moving down one spot, you're only moving from 1 to 2, you'd think to yourself, hey, a couple of day 2 picks could get it done, right? You sweeten the pot, and it's 2 second-round picks, a second rounder this year, a second rounder next year, just to move that one spot. But the problem is that you are bidding against these other teams. And the Falcons coming off the board at number 8 with them signing Kirk Cousins, I think, is to Washington's advantage, because there's only so far Chicago would want to move down, right? I don't think Chicago's sitting there like, yeah, we'll take a trade to move down to 11 and we're picking 9 and 11. That's not what this team is going to want to do. But the only other team I think that would really be a threat to Washington is maybe the Giants at number 6, if the Giants wanted to get extremely aggressive. But even they would have to offer a huge ransom to convince Chicago to go from 1 to 6. And convince Chicago, honestly, to move out of number one for the second year in a row. I think that that goes into it as well. So I think that some sort of package of a couple of day two selections, like a second round pick and a third round pick for Washington, could get it done. But to be honest with you, Dan, I don't know, because Washington, I think, will do whatever it takes to make Chicago say no to them not getting up to number one, because people forget this. You know, they think about Caleb Williams, think about Oklahoma, they think about USC. He played high school ball right outside of Washington, right? This is the hometown kid. This is the homecoming pick for them if they could get up to number one. So whatever the pick value might be numerically or score-wise, I think Washington might even offer a little bit more than that to try to make this happen.
He's Trevor Sikkema, the Pro Football Focus lead draft analyst. Who had a bad week this past week?
You know, I heard you guys right before I came on, you know, these teams that people aren't too jazzed about having good seasons. Titans are just, man, they're in a different type of area than I thought that they were going to be as a franchise. I didn't think that they were going to move on from Mike Vrabel. I wasn't sure if they were really going to move on from Derrick Henry. They end up doing both of those things. They let Henry walk, but they bring in Tony Pollard and they give him the 3-year deal. And Tony Pollard could be a good football player, but you drafted Tajay Spears last year, and he looked pretty good. So I was kind of hoping that, hey, we'd see a little bit more of Tajay Spears. You wouldn't think that you needed to pay that sort of money to a running back. And so, you know, you go out and you pay a lot of money for Calvin Ridley, and sure, now you've got a nice little trio to make sure that you're seeing what Will Levis can give you. I get it. I don't love the moves in totality with one another. And so Tennessee was a team where they had a lot of money to Calvin Ridley, a lot of money to Tony Pollard. I don't know how it really helps them in the short term. It feels like they're spending a lot of money, and sure, it might make the floor of the team better, but is it actually advancing what you're going to do to build the team moving forward? I guess time will tell, but that was one of the free agency moves. As I look at the list, I go, man, I think they spent a lot of money. I just don't know how much better this team got.
Chargers won 5 games last year. They bring in Jim Harbaugh, and they get rid of their best receivers, restructure some contracts. What do you make of what the Chargers are doing or need to do?
Yeah, I did not think that they were going to choose the edge rushers over Keenan Allen. I really didn't. You know, when I was looking through what the Chargers could potentially do this offseason, you know, the Mike Williams move kind of made sense. He's been injured over the last couple of years. They could save a lot of money by moving on from him. That was kind of an understood. I wondered if it was also going to be an understood with the Joey Bosa part of things, right? He's been hurt over the last couple of years, hasn't had the same type of juice, but they restructure him, bring him back. And I thought for sure out of any one of the four, oh, of course they're going to keep Keenan Allen. He's a franchise legend. He's still got some juice left in the tank for Justin Herbert, but they end up moving on from him, and they're basically saying, hey, this is kind of what Jim Harbaugh did at Michigan, right? Remember, those early years that Harbaugh was there at Michigan, they weren't good, and he spent a ton of time recruiting those guys in the trenches. So now, over the last 2 to 3 seasons for Michigan, they've been one of the best offensive lines in the country, and they've had some of the craziest athletes on defense that we've seen come through the NFL draft, both at edge and on the interior. So from a Harbaugh perspective, maybe this wasn't as big as a surprise to us as it should have been, or the other way around, because he has just always really emphasized things in the trenches. I'm surprised Keenan Allen was kind of the casualty of that. But now we're sitting here, we've all talked about wide receiver for the Chargers, and maybe it still ends up being wide receiver for the Chargers in the first round. But I think this is now a prime candidate, a number 5, to move back in the draft. And then also draft on the offensive line. I really think that that is the avenue that they're going, fortifying both trenches in this first year. Let's set up the identity, the core, the culture of what Harbaugh wants to build on this team moving forward.
If you were advising the Bears with the number 1 pick, you would say what?
Put the ticket in for Caleb Williams and don't think twice about it. I really think that that's absolutely the move that you should make. I've watched a lot of film on these guys over the course of this entire draft season going back to this summer, and wire to wire, I've had Caleb Williams as my number 1 overall choice, even through those struggles in the middle of the season. And, you know, it's something to look at the stats and the highlights and everything for these guys, but I don't think Caleb really gets the credit he deserves for being the type of processor that he is. People think about him in this USC offense. Oh, it's a Lincoln Riley system. It's a lot of gimmicky stuff that'll work in college. It won't work in the NFL, but when Caleb is asked to kind of do a traditional drop back, scan the field, go through some progressions, read a defense, He absolutely can do that. And I think that that's just an underrated part of his game now, because people just look at the out of structure stuff. He is good in structure. We just didn't see as much of it as we're going to see at the NFL level. So if I'm Chicago, yeah, I'm taking Caleb Williams, no question about it. And number one overall, I'd also think about keeping my foot on the gas with a potential receiver with that number nine overall pick. You know, they've got number nine, and I know they brought in Keenan Allen, they've got DJ Moore, but look, if you have the opportunity to package maybe a pick next year and one of those fourth round picks this year, I know that doesn't leave you with a lot of picks, but if you can go up to number five and get a Romo Odunze, a Malik Nabers, all of a sudden that trio of wide receivers, the established offensive line that you have, the defense that you've totally revamped over the last 2 years, you throw in Caleb Williams, you throw in that running back room, all of a sudden the Bears are a legitimate playoff team. I'm not saying that they would get there, but that then has to be the goal for the talent level that is on the team. So I don't hate that move either for them with number nine.
Good stuff, Trevor. Thanks for joining us. We hope to have you on leading up to the draft.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Anytime.
That's Trevor Sikkema. He works for Pro Football Focus. He's in charge of Pro Football Focus's big board. You know, the Bears are going to get it right one of these days. Why not get it right now? They've done a good job. They've done a good job. They've done a smart job here, and I think Caleb Williams makes the most sense. Can you get something out of Justin Fields? Do you leave Justin Fields there for a year? It doesn't cost you anything. But I would think if I'm a team and I could pick him up now for what little he cost, it's the following year when he's going to cost me $25 million. All right, a couple of phone calls in here. Jacob in North Carolina. Hi, Jake. What's on your mind today?
What's up, Dan?
Hey, man.
Rookie here of the Dead Dads Club. I've been listening to your podcast, Dan Take the Gamble, and I just wanted to know how you categorize that show. Is it a comedy show? is it a betting show? Because I feel like it's more of a comedy show because, you know, it seems like two of the guys are trying to play golf with their bets and get the lowest score possible. So just wanted to hear what your thoughts were.
Well, the Dan Patrick Takes a Gamble podcast that we record every Thursday, Shea and Irving, Bad Larry, Dylan the Graphics Guy, there is some gambling information there. I'm not saying it's good information, but with Dylan and Shay, I just let them kind of go back and forth. Bad Larry is usually the pinata, and I'm sort of the referee. Yeah, Seton.
Did I see young Dylan the Graphics Guy is turning into Dylan the stand-up comic?
Potentially. He's very funny. I don't know how good he is at graphics on the show.
But he is very funny.
But he is funny. Yeah, he is funny. And he's going to Minneapolis with us for St. Patty's Day.
He is.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
P.A. Ray is going as well. And Seton and Paulie and myself.
P.A.R.
And we're,
he always at par.
Yeah, we're going up to Minneapolis for St. Patty's Day. And yeah. And Dylan wants to be a competitive.
Does he have a set while he's in St.
I don't
in,
know.
Minneapolis? St.
I don't
Paul
know.
Area?
I know. Remember when Todd, during the Super Bowl,
crushed.
He slayed in Minneapolis.
I should have just stopped after that.
You should have.
And it was all fans of the show, so they were going to clap no matter what I did.
They were chanting, Fritzy, Fritzy, before he even got up to the stage. It was amazing. It was epic.
Yes.
Epic.
Yeah. You were slaying there.
They definitely got a high from that, and then it all went downhill after that.
Yeah. We're done with stand-up comedy. You'll do it again?
I don't foresee that in the near future, but I will say that making dreams come true, New York, L.A., Atlanta, Minnesota, I never thought I'd be doing stand-up at all, but, you know, getting me on those stages, even though I closed down one of them that's still...
Caroline's. Yeah. Caroline's in New York, a landmark for stand-up comedy. Todd goes there, and then all of a sudden they shutter the doors.
But to do that, and then the Comedy Store on the Sunset Strip, just to do it, regardless of how badly it went, was still a very cool experience.
Yeah. Yes, Paul.
Fritzy, are you also done with sit-down comedy?
I should be done with sit-down and stand-up.
Well, see what he did. Yeah, so stand-up comedy, sit-down comedy. Yeah,
too soon. Too soon.
Don't you have a segment, though, prepared for today?
Called Rhyme Time.
Yeah. Oh.
Yes. Rhyme Time is back today, okay. If we so choose.
All right, let me take a break. And then we'll do Rhyme Time. Todd, explain to the audience if they're not familiar with Rhyme Time.
I will give you guys a pair of words, and the answer, those two words rhyme with one another.
Like, for instance?
For instance, it would be like, hello, eggs. I'm just coming off the top of my head. And it would be, goodbye, fry. Like you'd fry an egg. That's not a great example.
No, no, no. Why not use one from your list?
Oh, use an actual one.
Yes, that.
I was saving the
you
actual
You know what?
One.
No, no. Just save
I have one.
No. Save. It could be greater disaster.
I still like hobbled competition. Lame game.
Yeah. Lame game.
More, that would be lame game.
More of that magic coming up right after this on the Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, it's halftime and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. Final hour on this Meat Friday, the traditional corned beef dinner. Corned beef, cabbage, potatoes, carrots, Irish soda bread. Who has it better than we do?
Nobody.
Come on in for the final hour. We'll talk to Dame Lillard of the Milwaukee Bucks. We'll get to more phone calls as well. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle, @DPShow. The Bears snagged Keenan Allen from the Chargers, a fourth-round pick. They got that fourth-round pick as part of the trade with Carolina last year. And got them the number one pick overall. Commanders dumped Sam Howell. He went to Seattle. Right now it's Marcus Mariota as the incumbent quarterback in Washington. But they are poised to take a quarterback with the number two pick overall. No tournament bids. No tickets were punched to the big dance last night. Although you had five top 25 teams lose. Creighton, Duke, BYU, Nevada, and number 24, Dayton, knocked out of their conference tournaments during championship week. Seton, what's the poll question today?
Yeah, right now we've got up there, of these teams, who would you give the best chance to have a surprisingly good season? Right now the Titans, and these teams have the four worst odds to win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
That's how we pick them.
Okay.
Right now the Titans have 52% of the vote, followed by the Broncos at 32%, Panthers and Patriots. Patriots now in last place. They don't have a chance.
Couple of things basketball-wise. I introduced you to Daniel Gafford earlier this week. Daniel Gafford played, I think, at Kansas State, and he's a member of the Mavericks. He had made 33 consecutive field goal attempts. Now, 17 of the 33 were dunks. 32 of the 33 came within 5 feet. He had a putback attempt last night, and the streak is over. It ended at 33 consecutive field goals, too shy of Wilt Chamberlain's NBA record. Daniel Gafford. Jalen Brunson put up 45, and the Celtics became the first team to clinch a playoff berth. The Bucks had a win over the Sixers last night. We'll talk to Dame Lillard. He'll join us coming up here in a moment. A couple of phone calls in the meantime. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Also, we say good morning to those watching on Peacock. Thank you for downloading the app and our radio affiliates around the country, numbering over 400. PGA Tour's best at TPC Sawgrass. The Players' Championship continues later today on Golf Channel, NBC, and Peacock. Also, Moonshine Madness, it's available. Tailgate Moonshine. We have some of the most popular moonshine flavors available at danpatrick.com. Make sure you do a drive-by if you can. Will in Dayton. Hi, Will. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Mr. Patrick. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Buck, I can't believe I'm calling to take up for Saban, but I'm having a hard time understanding. When you read and listen to everything he's saying, he's always emphasizing that he's all for the players getting compensated. I don't see how it's much different from what Deion's saying. These guys are coming in and making demands without earning anything.
Well, you have to decide if you're going to accommodate them. Deion says, hey, you can come in here, but you're going to have to earn this. Nick Saban, it felt like that was driving him out of the sport, that he didn't want to deal with it anymore. And he's lamenting the fact. So you can say, hey, I'm all for NIL. When you're able to control it, you might be for NIL. They can't control this anymore. Yes, Eden.
And I feel like what was just said there has it exactly backwards. What they did in high school earned them the recruiting. That is what has earned them the money that these schools will now pay. It's not, they're not earning what they do at the end of it, because what they do in college earns them the money that they then get in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like we're looking at it backwards.
Yeah. You know, and this drove Nick Saban out of the sport. And I'm sure Jim Boeheim didn't want to deal with this. Jay Wright at Villanova. These are basketball coaches. They don't want to deal with this. And somebody's got their hand out. And in their mind, you haven't earned anything. And what Seton is saying is, they have, because that's why you're recruiting them. They did in high school.
That's why those stars are next to their name.
You're not paying them on potential. You're paying them for, please come to my college. But look, these college football coaches, basketball coaches, they had total control. And then you don't. And that's when you have to work even harder. Because you're getting somebody, maybe it's for a year. Maybe they use your platform to then go to another school and then get another payday. That's what's happening. Yeah, Paul.
There's another thing college coaches are suggesting, that if you get NIL, you commit to a contract, almost like an employee would. And you say, good, you'll sign a 2-year contract with the University of Alabama to play linebacker for us. And we will pay you on the way in, and we'll pay you during, but you can't leave the minute you don't start your freshman year.
Yeah, I don't know if you, I mean, coaches break their contracts all the time. I don't know. Are you going to have a buyout? I mean, is that possible that somebody's going to go to Alabama and sign a 3-year contract for money, NIL money, and then if you leave and you go to Auburn or somebody else in the SEC, then there's a buyout there? I mean, we do that with college coaches. I wonder if we're going to do that with players as well. Let me see. Kennedy in Louisville. Hey, Kennedy, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. How are you?
Hey, bud.
Just wanted to love the new mural in the man cave with Caitlin Clark's staff. Just had one quick issue, though, or kind of more of a bone to pick. I actually called 2 months ago, maybe a month ago, and asked to literally take down James Harden and maybe replace with someone like a Steph or someone else. And then, lo and behold, I just see this Monday, a nice little Caitlin Clark Steph mural, and I'm seeing it's kind of right where James Harden was. So just wanted to throw that out there. I know Paulie was kind of laughing off the phone call, but just wanted a little credit. That was all. Have a good weekend, guys.
Well, let's give Kennedy a little credit for suggesting that Caitlin Clark. Yeah. Thank you, Kennedy.
If there's one thing I know about Paul, he is a diehard James Harden supporter and couldn't care less about Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, that sounds like my brand.
Yeah, I didn't want to take down Jerry West. I was fine with taking down James Harden. So then we put up Caitlin Clark and Steph Curry. Speaking of shooters, he's Dame Lillard, Bucks point guard, 8-time NBA All-Star, had a win last night, and beat the Sixers, got the Suns coming up this weekend. How would you rank the range that Caitlin Clark has?
How would I rank her range?
Yeah.
I would put it up pretty high. Seeing as she shoot a lot of those shots off the bounce, she's being defended hard. It's one thing to shoot from deep, but I think shooting it like off the bounce, in traffic, in big moments, consistently as she is, I would rank it pretty high.
And I'm sure that she was inspired by players like you and Steph, some of these great shooters. But it's tough for a coach to go, hey, go ahead and shoot wherever you want to, I would think.
It is. It is. I think even when I first got in the NBA, you know, my first NBA coach, Terry Stotts, would get frustrated with me shooting deep shots. And then I think as he saw me working on it more and more and more, and it started to become a more efficient shot for me, and I was able to get it off quick, and I was able to make it in big moments, like I said. I was able to make it well defended. I think he started to see that it also stretched the defense out. They had to play me further out the floor, up the floor, and it just gave us more room to operate, you know, and to run our offense, and our team benefit from it.
How do you practice the kind of off balance or somebody in your face? You know, anybody can stand and shoot and probably make a few of them, but to do something that it's going to be a real game-like situation, how do you practice that?
I think it's I do this thing called foundation shooting, and it starts, you know, from mid-range where I'm, you know, shooting without jumping. You know, I'll start off without jumping, then I'll start from a dipped position, and then, you know, my trainer would be like, go, you know, and I'll just have to shoot from like the dipped position with no wasted motion, no momentum. And then I'll do that with a fade, and then I'll add a bounce to it, and then pause, and then fade. And you just keep working your way out, you know, to the 3-point line where you shoot without jumping, and then you shoot without momentum. And then, you know, sometimes I'll get in a dip position and I'll get on one leg and do it. And I just keep building, you know, from mid-range further and further out. And I think it makes you a stronger shooter. And then you just become more and more confident from doing that all of the time. And then you start to do it off the bounce. And I think it's just the reps after that.
Is the 3-point shot good for the NBA?
I think it is. You know, it makes it harder to defend, I guess. You know, it puts the defense at the offense's mercy. And, you know, where we are right now in the game of basketball, you want a fun game. You want an entertaining game. And I think when you got so many guys out there that can shoot the ball, you know, you gotta account for guys further out, and that opens up the drive that activates the help side of the defense, the low man on the defense, and it just creates a more entertaining game, you know, for fans to watch. But I also think on the flip side, it's changed the game a lot, you know, because it's run and gun, people firing threes. You know, you look at some of the best shooters of all time, and they were shooting 3 threes a game.
Yeah.
Before, and now you got guys shooting 12 per game and 10 per game. So I can't say that it's the best thing, but I think it makes for a more entertaining game, higher scoring, guys getting more points, well-rounded skill set for players. Now you got, you know, dudes like Wimby out here shooting step back threes and one leg threes and stuff like that. So the game is constantly evolving, and I think the 3-point shot is a big part of that.
What do you make of Victor Wembanyama?
Man, I think he's special. Like when I first started to see him, I was like, you know, the first thing you think is hype, you know? Like I could see that he was clearly a good basketball player. But, you know, it was just so much hype around him that you're like, man, you know, he's so tall and long, and, you know, the game is so fast. how is he going to do in the NBA? And then you see, like, he got, like, a little twitch with him, even though he's, you know, tall and lanky. He moves quick. You know, it's fluid. He's doing things you just haven't seen somebody do at that size before. You know, I think we've always been extremely impressed with Kevin Durant doing it at, you know, 6'11". Now you got to do 7'5", is doing the same thing. It's just getting crazy, man. But I think Wimby is special, and I think how competitive he is what surprised me the most, and that's what makes me think that, you know, very soon I can see him being the best player in the league.
How do you explain the Joker?
I mean, I don't think it's really too much to explain. I think it's a you got guys that you look at and you say, this dude is super fast, or this dude is super athletic, or this guy can really shoot. There are certain things about guys that you know, that jump off the page. And I think with Joker, he's just a great basketball player. I've seen him be out of shape and dominate. I've seen him in shape and dominate. I've seen him score a bunch of points. I've seen him, you know, playmaking. I've seen him rebounding. He's just a great basketball player.
We're talking to Dame Lillard. I was talking to Chris Mannix, who covers the NBA, and he says that you talk boxing with him all the time.
Yeah.
What kind of boxer do you think you would have made?
I think I would have been a pretty good boxer. One second.
Like if you fought Jake Paul.
See, I think if you with somebody like Jake Paul, because I train, you know, I'm always in the gym in the summer. I love the sport of boxing. I think with somebody like Jake Paul, I know how important experience is in boxing, you know, and I think he's got so much experience now where he's fought in these big events. He's taking boxing serious. He's in boxing gyms all the time now. Like, he's taking it serious. So I think, you know, he's taking a route of a true fighter, you know, and anybody who hasn't had that opportunity or anybody who hasn't, you know, taken it that serious, you know, as far as wanting to become a fighter, then you shouldn't be mentioned with those guys. You know, I think he's doing all the things to earn the right to be mentioned with fighters. But for me, I'm not going to go barking up a tree at somebody that's considering being a professional fighter when, you know, I do it out of love of sport and also just to know that I can properly defend myself if it comes down to it.
Who would be the best, if I said I'm going to train this person to be a boxer, a professional boxer in the NBA, who would be your pick?
If I could pick anybody?
Anybody is going to be in the ring. You pick the guy you're going to be in the ring, and you think that he would be the best representation of an NBA player who's going to be a professional boxer.
I would take... let's see.
You should be able to... No?
I don't think... It's tough guys, but I wouldn't even look for the toughest guy.
Okay. How about Draymond? How would Draymond do in the ring?
You never know. I think Draymond has he's tough mentally. So I think Draymond could, you know, be a good fighter, but that's only part of it. You know, I'm trying to think of like the body type. You know, everybody would probably be like, you know, LeBron, but that's like a big dude. You want somebody that's kind of like wiry, light. You know, that's stronger than you would think. Tough mentally. That could get to a weight where they could be dangerous as well. Like, I think I would be a good one. I think.
Would you ever get in the ring with Tyson?
Hell no. I don't care if he was 68, I would be.
That is the correct answer. Help me understand what it was like that first month of the season with Milwaukee to where you guys are now. What was the biggest difference?
I think the first month, just trying to settle in, you know, with my life, you know, more than anything. Yeah. Just, you know, I got three kids. I've been in Portland for 11 years and everything was just set up around me perfectly as far as my family, to where I could just focus on basketball, and then my life that's most important to me was laid out perfectly. And then coming here, leaving my kids behind, leaving my family behind, I knew what I signed up for, but it's still a major adjustment. So that was tough. And then just being on a new team, trying to find my place within this team, not having like a summer of being with the team. It wasn't like I came here like in free agency or I got traded in the middle of the summer. It was like a couple of days before training camp. So just trying to get comfortable, just trying to find my place. You know, it was tough in that first month. And I think now we've had enough time to where it's like, okay, I see where I could impact this team. I see where I could help this team. I see the journey. I see the difference in the journey for me here than the last couple of years in Portland and what's important. And I think that's the biggest difference, is not looking at our season and myself the way that I did in the past. You know, now I know that it's a much longer journey. It's a different type of goal, and being invested in that has been like the biggest help and difference for me so far, like this at this point in the season.
I got Doc Rivers here, and Doc wanted to say something to you. Hey, Doc.
How you doing, Dame? I tell these guys, you got to give me 48. Give me 48. Sometimes it takes more than 48 if we go to overtime. He can do whatever. He can take whatever shot he wants. Yeah, I let him shoot green light from the parking lot. He can shoot wherever he wants. But you got to give me 48 if we're going to get where we're going.
Thank you, Doc. Wow. How would you rate that?
He started off strong, man. It did. It tailed off.
Oh,
it tailed
off after that. Okay.
After about 10 seconds, man. It's tough to retain that voice.
Yeah, that's a coach's voice there. And you probably hear it way too much, far more than you want to. But
it's actually not as bad as people like make it out to be in person. Like I haven't even in person, like obviously you notice his voice, but it's not that bad.
Yes, Doc.
It's bad. I should probably see somebody. I think I got like nodules on my throat.
Hey, Dame, thanks for joining us, and good luck the rest of the season.
Appreciate it, man. It's always good to be on.
That's Dame Lillard, Bucks point guard and 3-point shooting contest winner.
I think Dame is my favorite guest we have on.
Really?
Yes, I do. I love that dude.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. From one shooter to another. I mean, that's why we connect there.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection, and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.